Our text for this morning is the Old Testament reading, which we heard from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 3 to 9. I share with you again these verses. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, Here I am. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, the question is, do you always get what you want from God? And if you don't, why not? And if you do, why is that? Well, there was a mother going into a grocery store with her two young children, and she said to them, Now you be patient and well-behaved, and I might buy you a treat. Well, they were shopping, and when they saw the cookie aisle, they started shouting, We want cookies for a treat! We want cookies! But Mom didn't turn down that aisle. And so they started whining, Please! Please! And because they know you're supposed to say that word, and they begin to fuss louder and louder, do you think those children should be getting those cookies? Well, what if instead they were calm and polite? And maybe the older one helped the younger one to keep entertained. Now, suppose they do get the cookies. Why do they get the cookies? Is it because of how they behave? Not really. It's because of the mother's promise and purchasing them. This is what Isaiah is telling the Israelites about us and what pleases God. We want to God to do what pleases us. Please, do that. But what we should want is to please God. And what we see is that God does for others what pleases Him. Let's think first about how we want God to please do what we want. Isaiah quotes the people who are saying, Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? And God's reply is, Well, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasures, and you oppress your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow his head like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Have you ever been so upset or so emotional in another way that you just lost your appetite? How we feel emotionally can make a difference in how we feel physically and in how we act. This is what fasting is about. It's a behavior that goes with prayer, like holding hands or bowing heads, that physically expresses something to God. Especially with prayers of repentance, it's like saying, God, this makes me feel awful. I just feel empty inside. Nothing else matters to me except you. But it's easy to say things we don't really mean. You can say, please, in a whiny, unpleasing way. You can say, thank you, insincerely. Oh, thank you. Isaiah says that they didn't really mean their fasting and their bowing. It was a lie, as if God couldn't see through it. Or it worked the other way around. Their fasting led to them feeling bad. They were crabby and short-tempered. Instead of really denying their own pleasures, their workers were the ones who ended up paying the price. Throughout the history of the church, people have made up all sorts of rituals that they imagine will appease God, although God himself never instructed or asked for them, and none are worth as much as simply doing what God says. God did tell the Israelites to fast on the annual Day of Atonement, not as a righteous act, but as a way of acknowledging their lack of righteousness and their need for God's grace. But Isaiah says their fasting was more like a temper tantrum, like, I'm going to hold my face till I turn blue, or hold my breath till I turn blue. Isaiah says that their fasting is not just to be a one-day thing, like going to church on Sunday. Our worship, too, can be an expression of spiritual emptiness, with a desire for God to make a difference in our lives, to fill us up. But it's worthless if we don't really want to change. All the behaviors that are part of our worship, our bowing or standing or kneeling or singing, etc., are appropriate behaviors for expressing ourselves to God only if they go along with the behavior of obedience, including obeying God well that we love and care about others. So we should want to do what pleases God. So God says, is this not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? What do you suppose they were asking from God when they were fasting? Maybe they wanted God to make Israel great again by freeing them from their enemies, by giving them security along with food and clothing and shelter and prosperity. Well, isn't this something God wants people to have? If so, then it's something that God wants other people to have too. So, truly sincere prayers will be expressed in actions by doing what helps everyone to be free from being trapped in trouble and mistreatment. Instead of feeling hungry and being fed, being housed instead of being homeless. If there are people around us who are oppressed and burdened, especially if our neighbors are homeless or hungry or naked, or if our having what we want comes at the expense of others being kept in poverty or misery, then we should repent. And we should show it with our actions, and not just ignore it while going through the motions of our worship. Genuine fasting can include giving up food or other things, not just to be doing it, but in order to give those things to those who need it more. Meanwhile, Isaiah reminds the Israelites, not depriving their own flesh, their own family members. Why does God want us to have good behavior? Well, it's not because it somehow benefits God. And it's not just so that our behavior will somehow make a difference in how God treats us. It's because God wants to make a difference in us. And because it pleases Him for us to do things that make a difference for others. This is why God does for others what pleases Him. Isaiah writes, "Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, 'Here I am.'" Today's gospel reading reminds us that God wants our behavior to make a difference in the world, like salt and light. Not just a difference in people's physical lives, but a difference in their spiritual lives. When righteousness leads us to do the things that we do to the glory of God, then, as Isaiah pictures it, the glory of God follows in its wake. This happens when it's obvious to us and to others that the only way we can do the good things we do is because of what God does for us. Then, as Isaiah says, God is speedily healing us. Since God is truly pleased by the things that we do for others, then God Himself is pleased to do it Himself, the way we should be. And so in the next chapter, Isaiah says, "The Lord saw it and was displeased." that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. So does the Lord call when he answers? Does the Lord answer when we call? Well, yes, he does. Is this because we have done all these things that Isaiah listed? Well, no, not exactly. But one of us has. That one is Jesus. Jesus has humbled himself to be one of us. Jesus does not turn away from us because he has made himself to be our own flesh and blood. Jesus fasted and he prayed. And as he talks about in the gospel reading, fulfilled all of God's law for us. Jesus loosed the bonds of wickedness and freed us from sin and being oppressed by the devil by forgiving us. Jesus fed the hungry, and Jesus feeds us with his own body and blood in Holy Communion. Jesus clothed our shameful nakedness by covering us with his own righteousness. Jesus brings us homeless wanderers into his home in heaven. When we truly believe this, we express it in our behavior by how we treat others. What does it take for God to answer our prayers? The question is not how do we get our way with God, but how does God get his way with us? This is why we sincerely do what we do in worship, to express our emptiness and our hunger for God. This is why we express our devotion for God by behavior that does for others what he wants for everyone, including us. When we say, please God, we want God to please do what we want. It may sometimes seem as if he's not paying attention to us, but we are the ones who need to be paying attention to him. We should want to do what pleases God, which is showing our faith in our behavior toward others. Now, we continue to fall short in this, but still God does for others, including us, what pleases him. God does hear our prayers. God does help needy people because it pleases him to do it for Jesus' sake, so that our light shine in a way that gives glory to him now and forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.